The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
To the room. Happy Monday, October 21st, 2024. Life is a gamble. Your host, Melvin Prince Jonathan. So we're here again. Closer, getting closer and closer and closer to November 5th. Boy, I'm excited. The streets are talking. The streets are excited. My call number here is 888-329-3306. Feel free to call me. Let me give thanks to the Universal God. Let me thank my family. Let me thank the Republican Party, the African-American part of that Republican Party. Let me thank my listening audience. So Congressman Byron Donald came through at 1315 East Allegheny Avenue at On Point Barbershop. Our great friend Jose, who was the owner of the barbershop, let us use his facility. So you might see that on the web because I know it's on social media. And we had close to 50, 60 African-American males there and some females there, but it was constructed to support the needs of African-American men, to listen to African-American men, to see how we could be of some assistance. Now, the congressman, a fairly young congressman, at least took the initiative to come to a city that is hurting and have a conversation. Now, we have congressmen and women here, and yet you see nowhere where you can go and have a sit down with them to talk about the issues that are plaguing our city. And so we appreciate and we applaud Congressman Byron Donalds for coming. Last time he came, he was on Columbus Boulevard at one of the cigar lounges. And so a lot of us didn't go there because we are members of a cigar lounge, or we either own our own cigar lounge. So, but we need to talk because there's some things that's not going right in this city, and people are sitting here being fooled. You know, they're making it all about the purpose and they're making it all about the mission. But at the end of the day, you still can't feed your family. At the end of the day, you still can't provide the necessary things that you need in order to help your family. And that's just not embarrassing. It's embarrassing when you don't realize that you're doing nothing to help yourself if you don't help your family. Let me give you an example. It's like somebody standing, holding their breath, because they smell their own underarms. Opposed to going and fix the problem, you're going to sit there and hold your breath. But the only problem, the major problem, is that everybody else around you smell your underarms. So you do better going to fix the problem. Everybody else around the United States see what's happening in Philadelphia. See the level of crime. See the level of poverty. And this is induced. This is not like things are that bad that people are just committing crime. No, it's induced. When I say induced, that means if you don't do anything when it first starts, if you don't nip it in the bud at the very beginning and you let it fester like this, then the results of it is going to be catastrophic. We've taken over the SEPTA stations in a way where if there's a crime committed on any SEPTA location, SEPTA transit, SEPTA stop, then the state will prosecute the assailants who may have committed that crime. Well, just a couple weeks ago, there was a shooting on a SEPTA bus, and the bullet happened to hit three women. One of the bullets happened to, not one hit all three, but the multiple bullets that rained out on that bus wound up hitting women that were sitting on that bus. Had nothing to do with the altercation. Was only trying to get from one place to the next place. And so we haven't had the commissioner come out and have a press conference to assure people that riding SEPTA is okay, it's safe. But yet SEPTA's asking for more money, millions of dollars, in order to operate. And so the people of the city have chose not to speak against this, has chose not to show up in representation of their safety. And that's what's embarrassing. That's what's embarrassing. You used to have the NAACP, and I was the first African-American Republican elected as second vice president to the NAACP. They used to have a purpose that rallied around certain initiatives like this, you know, fixing our community, fixing big business, fixing corporate America, so we don't get, so we're not placed in a position where we feel hopeless. And now, you know, you're throwing your hands up, and that's ridiculous, because like I said last week, you are comfortable being uncomfortable. And that might be good if you're a comedian. That might be good if you're a rock star. That might be good if you're an athlete, somebody pushing you to the limits. But a lot of people in Philadelphia are neither of those things. And the mere fact that we cannot, and the mere fact that we are not doing what we need to do to fight for the opportunity is a big problem. So that's my beginning. I'm going to take a one-minute break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take some phone calls.
Hi, I'm Marcus Scribner. The way we treat others affects us all, and that includes the way we treat animals. Cruel treatment of animals overseas led to the pandemic crisis, killing a million people worldwide. Environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have killed endangered wild species. Our world today is a poorer place for people to live and inhumane for both people and animals. To fight back, American Humane created a 10-point plan to help animals, people, and the world we share. From ending the dog and cat meat trade to universal humane standards for farms, zoos, entertainment, and animal transport. Together we can make a difference. Join the fight for our animal friends. Go to AmericanHumane.org today and sign our new deal for animals. For a kinder, safer, and healthier world for all of us.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting
when the dealing's done. So look, I'm back. And I do have someone online, but I want to make this point right here. The Republican men of this city right here who would come out to support the candidates will also be holding an event and fairs throughout the city. They won't be the impoverished things. They won't be the food desert things. They won't be any of that. They're preparing to give out bikes for Christmas. And so they're working with the different vendors. And so hopefully we can procure maybe 400 or 500 bikes, you know, and have your kids come and pick up a brand new bike. Now, if you only have an apartment and your apartment's not big enough, then grab one of the scooters or something like that, or one of the little, I forget what they call. We're not giving out any hoverboards. That was one of my suggestions that we do. If we do, they're going to sign a waiver for them that they're dangerous for adults. So I know they'll be, this is dangerous for kids, although I see kids know how to handle them way better than adults. So look, let's go to the phones. Miss Wanda Walker, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling. Life is a gamble. Are you rolling the dice today or are you passing them?
You know I'm always rolling.
There you go. So look, I would like for you every Monday to come and tell us about, for about 7 to 10 minutes, about what went on Thursday since you go down city council. So consider this as your debriefing time to tell us what your likes and what's the do's and don'ts and likes and dislikes about what went on at city council on Thursday.
Awesome. So every Thursday I've committed myself to go down for the next 10, 15 Thursdays. We started back, I think it was August, I think it was. And I've been down there every Thursday that there's a meeting, because I want to speak about how generational wealth is being stolen in Philadelphia. And most of the stealing and how it's allowed to be done is because of the bad policies and politics that's going on in Philadelphia.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get the feeling that what you say that's going on in this city right here, the folks who have been elected and the folks who collect the paycheck, like sometimes they don't give a hoot because they sit there nonchalant because it's really not affecting them? That they listen to you because they have to. They don't seem as attentive. Do you ever get that feeling?
Sometimes a little bit, but not really, because I'm not a regular like some other people.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to actually listen, like literally turn around to hear what I'm having to say, because I don't come being like just talking.
Yeah, I literally
bring facts and figures that when you hear them and the people there hear them and the people on the radio hear them, because word is always recording down there,
mm-hmm.
you can't dispute it. So it really makes people stop and think. I'm not going down there to get, you know, coverage or attention. I'm not running for anything. I'm set up. And it really hurts my heart to see, in particular, how this city is being run and how our seniors are being treated. And I realize that the majority of our generational wealth is with the seniors, and they do everything possible to force them to sell their houses.
So check this out. Let me run this past you. I know a lady, she's up there in age, and she doesn't have any family, doesn't have any one to care for, so she has a caregiver, right? So she's worked all her life, and her financial person did a reverse mortgage on her home. And now, she didn't know what it was probably then, but she signed off on it. She definitely don't know what it is now. And she's, you know, in the Mount Airy area. And so she's deteriorated to a point where she needs some things done to her home, you know. And so the fact that she doesn't have good service, the fact that she needs some things done to her home, you know, we seem to not have a place. So when our elderly are aging out, and they, this becomes a strange land to them opposed to a familiar place.
It's horrible. And this is going around all over Philadelphia. Can you imagine working for something and paying something off for 30 years? And when you're paying a mortgage, you're paying the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become a certain age where you have a fixed income and you plan properly for your retirement years. However, nobody has a crystal ball to know about inflation and tax, property taxes being doubled and tripled. And you then have to choose between holding on to something you specifically worked extremely hard for. And the very definition of mortgage is death clause,
mm-hmm.
meaning whatever you paid or brought, you paid three times over. So you paid three times over for this property. You've been paying taxes for 30 years. You're now 65 or 67 and older, fixed income, and they're still going up on your taxes while giving developers abatement. While there's 23,000 buildings in Philadelphia that go tax exempt that are equal to $30 billion in worth, while churches, hospitals, universities, and nonprofits pay no taxes, you're being forced to further pay more taxes. This is ludicrous. There's no way in the world UAP should have a $20 billion endowment or so, and that's nothing but slave money and blood money, and you are then allowed to gobble up all of West Philadelphia and properties, and you aren't paying the proper share of taxes. You can well afford it. So
exactly.
As Kamala keeps saying she's going to make the rich pay, we have universities that are wealthy rich. Why not make them pay? Churches.
So let me ask this question. Because I've always had that problem with the churches not paying city waste taxes. And then if you are paying the pastor a tax, why isn't he paying city wage taxes on the money that he gets? All these pastors like, well, I don't take a salary from the church. Well, okay, so the church just cuts a check and pay for that automobile and it pays for the insurance and pay for all that stuff right there. You know, who when you take your wife out to eat, where you get that money from? Because if any of that money come from the church, then you're getting paid by the church.
Well, preachers are nothing but an extension of politicians, honestly, because it's supposed to be government and church separation. But every single time we have an election, who do we see pushing the politicians and or issues but our preachers and our black clergy at that?
Well, you got one in office now. You got one sitting
right,
there.
There's no way in the world. And then they run for offices, and they're part of people's offices. Every single city council, someone gets up and does a prayer, you know? And then how about all the other religious-type people sitting in there that has to listen to this particular style of prayer?
There is
no separation.
Let me just do this.
It's separated when it comes to taxes.
Because the majority of the city council folks are, I think, African-American, majority of them. And so
they are
the Christian, Baptist, so each city council people, I think, get a chance to have their pastor or rabbi come and give an opening prayer. So I think that's just the structure of city council as I've known it to be.
I think that's wrong, because the people who sit there to listen and to talk with city council come from all types of religious background. And if you can't accommodate everybody, then leave it alone.
No, hold on. Wait. Because universal prayer, whoever the pastor is, prays for the health and welfare of the meeting, prays for the health and welfare of everyone who attended the meeting, and that they may have safe travels back home. I don't think they are specific in trying to indoctrinize anybody. So I thought that was always a... Let's calm the room, because it may get tense. And let's say we're going to put a word on somebody's heart that may allow them to address the issues that they may be struggling with, you know, where they can get through it. Because some people get real emotional where they never finish because they start name calling and calling people out their name and saying things derogatory, which people not, the very people who come there don't want to hear that either.
Right. I've never seen any of that happened, but I do know that there are plenty different people that come other than what they're doing. And it's just my personal opinion on this. It's just one of the many things that they use to suck up time so that they don't have to listen to the people coming down there to speak.
Well, do they still
so
give you 3 minutes?
That they're reducing our speaking time to 1 minute and 2 minutes.
Whoa.
And when you Google other city council meetings, across the United States or what have you, or across Pennsylvania, people come and they're allowed to speak their piece, you know, and it doesn't mean that a city council can't go past 12 o'clock. Like, they spend most of the time giving people awards and renaming streets. That has nothing to do with the issues that are going on in Philadelphia. That's not what we came there for on a Thursday when we take off from work and pay $30 for parking to then be told that we can only speak a minute or 2 minutes. How do you get your point across?
So let me ask you a question. No? Do they ever have, like, evening council sessions, or they only have
I've
it in the
morning? I've asked for that repeatedly, that there's no way in the world you really want to address people's concerns. Now, Kenyatta Johnson did go out several times a few months back and have community meetings in different communities and districts, which had a very good response.
We'll put Wanda on hold.
You're putting me on hold?
Yeah, Wanda, that's what I'm going to do. I want to bring Miss Mary in our conversation. Is that okay with you? I'm gonna let you play.
I love Miss Mary.
Jenna, I'm gonna play co-host. Miss Mary, are you there?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Wanda, are you there?
And Wanda.
Hey, Miss Mary.
All right. So I got both of you guys on the phone, and I know you hear this conversation here, and I wanted to get Wanda's feedback from City Council. You know, and so immediately when you called, I was like, well, wait, Wanda, let's put Miss Mary on the phone, this conversation right here. So, Miss Mary, the mic is yours.
Yes, I heard Wanda at City Council. She did an excellent job, and she's right. You know, this is all a scam that's going on in the city of Philadelphia, starting with this councilmatic prerogative. Properties, we have almost 8,000 properties in the land bank. They're holding on to this. I'm looking at probably every city council person is probably millionaires by now. Because we need to look at and have an audit and find out who's benefiting from these properties that's been sitting in the land bank since 2013.
So, Ms. Mary, can I ask you a question? Under the Freedom of Information Act, why do we need somebody else to do something that we can go ahead and file a submission for?
You know what? I got information from the Freedom of Information Act.
Uh-huh.
And they took me to the point where you have to provide to them why you want the information.
Really?
Because they're giving you a right to sue if the city fails to provide you with that information. Because I filed the Freedom of Information Act based on the water department. We had a water main break on my street.
Miss Mary.
and they gave me the right to sue. You know, during that period of time, then the water department gave me what I requested, an image report. But I had to go through the city to get that information. So, you know, unless you're willing to sue these people and take further action against them, you're going to have a problem in getting the information from the Freedom of Information Act.
Can I inject, Miss Mary? You're absolutely right. And you don't even have to go to the Freedom of Information Act. Like, if you just want a copy of your bill, particularly with the water company, when you go down there and you ask them to give you a history of your bill, it becomes a problem. I remember going down there to pay a bill, and I said, well, she pulled something up on the screen. And I said, can I have a copy of that? And I'm not here to tell any lies, only truth. She said, no, it's only for us to see. Now, 2 years ago, I literally tried to get a lawyer to go after the water department, not to sue them, because I don't want anything that's not mine. I wanted my money back that they took. They forced a false $20,000 water bill on me 2-3 months before I was going to settlement. And before we went to settlement, I asked for them to come check the meter because I noticed it had went to $100 and some to $3,000 in one month. And then about 2 months later, it was $20,000.
Wow.
Clearly there's a problem with the meter. I still to this day haven't got my money back. And when I hired the lawyer, she did not follow through, but she told me, she said, point blank, you're on to something. She gave me some information that someone gave her inside the water department. And even my own lawyer was like, I can't give you this information because we're not supposed to really be privy to it. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? And this is happening all over. So Miss Mary is right. We don't need freedom of information. We can go down there and use this, but you have to remember the people who are most affected are seniors. They don't want to catch SEPTA and chance their life, and they're not wanting to pay with a fixed income for $30 and $40 and $50 parking. So this is something where if you're really representing us, you're going around the community to find out who has gripes, grievances, and who do you need to help.
Well, you know, at one point in time, hold on one moment, Wanda, when Mrs. Blackwell was in office or Mr. Blackwell was in office, it made you felt like you had family there, where you can go down there, you can talk to these people directly, and they can make a phone call and they can help you out. It doesn't have that same feel down there. You can't go down there and go inside their office and have them help you with an issue?
No. The community offices, our city council people have more than one office.
Right.
They have one down at city council, then they have one
in the community. Local.
In the community. Yeah. And when you go to the community offices closest to you, a lot of times they're not even open, or you have staff there that has very little knowledge. Some of our city council has a high turnover rate, so they have new people in that really can help. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And unless these city council people are willing to talk to big mouth people like me that care enough, that brings the information, they're really not going to really help our people. And then it leaves people like me and Mary having, Miss Mary having to get together to do the jobs that they should be doing. And I'm literally getting ready to open up the office to help my community fill out these forms and stuff, because the little organizations that they have at churches at the end of the day, two and three times, and Miss Mary heard me say this on Thursday. I said, you might help 20 people, and you do that three times, and you put a poster billboard up acting like you're really trying to help people apply for programs they should never have to apply for in the first place. Why can't it be that seniors, after 20, 30 years of paying taxes, you don't pay any more taxes? You're giving people abatement. You're excusing 23,000 buildings in Philadelphia
for
every single year not to pay taxes.
So give me a minute.
Why can't it be our seniors?
Miss Mary.
Like, this is not right the way they're being treated.
Miss Mary and Wanda, I need you guys to hold on a minute. I want to take a break. Go to commercial for 2 minutes, and I'll be right back.
Here's an important message for everyone who drives a motor vehicle. Every day, an average of 2 emergency responders are struck by vehicles while working on the road. Some don't survive. Others are critically injured and can no longer perform their life-saving jobs. In 2019, 44 emergency responders were struck and killed while working to help others on the road. Sadly, it looks like that number will be even higher in 2020. Firefighters, police officers, paramedics, tow truck operators, and every responder needs your help, and they need it now. Do your part to keep everyone safe on the road. When you see flashing lights of any color on the road ahead of you, slow down, move over, and give them room to work. It's the law in Pennsylvania. Police are cracking down, and penalties for violators are on the rise. This message is brought to you by Penntime and the Beasley Media Group. Learn more about Pennsylvania traffic incident management at penntime.com.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
You got to know. Know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run.
Kenny Rogers right there. Miss Mary, we rolling the dice or we passing them?
No, I'm always rolling.
So let's get rolling then. So let me ask you a question. So if the three of us, if we all had lanes to be in, Miss Mary grabbed, do the research, I fill out the paperwork, wanting to go down to City Hall and take it and send it to whatever department that needs for it to go to. Why don't we do something like that? Because in that way, I can pull the paperwork up and fill out any paperwork for a request that is that you guys need requested, you know. But then we sound like we'll be proactive, opposed to always telling the story of what's bad about City Hall, but never challenging them. The reason why I say that is because there was a woman who had gotten run over in the bike lane, and this bike lane community, which are probably the ones who lobbied the mayor to get those bike lanes, those inconvenient bike lanes throughout the city, had lobbied, and they're still lobbying City Hall to get them to put concrete barriers up. So there's a cement barrier between the road and the bike lane. And so, you know, is that going to happen?
Okay, before you go on, my research days are over. No, I'm going to tell you why.
Because, tell me why.
I had suffered with carpal tunnel with the state. I had steroid injections in my hand for 10 years after I had filed a whistleblowers against the state. So they knew that I had injured myself. No attorney would take my case. They did not want to go up against the state of Pennsylvania. Yeah. Every attorney that I went to, they told me that they could be sued based on legal malpractice because they did not look at this old law that was in place that I had in my union book, Pennsylvania Social Service Union, SEIU, since 1978. I saved my first union contract book. I showed those attorneys the law, and that's what they told me. I had to represent myself pro se in order for me not to be fired from the state of Pennsylvania. So that's why I became a whistleblower, because not only were they going to cheat me, but they was going to cheat you and everybody else in this country based on an insurance that was with AIG. So I'm always for real. You're going to have a difficulty getting a lawyer to go up against the city of Philadelphia unless it's a murder case. You know, you're going to have an attorney that we would pay into to represent everybody as a whole and not be on the idea of just looking out for themselves. You know, and I had suggested that in the beginning when I had called the radio show, knowing that you're not going to find an attorney that's going to go up against the city.
There's some.
You got to get a lawyer outside of Philadelphia.
Well, no, there's some Republican.
Don't do it.
So here's the thing. So you got to put another effort in, because some people will say that, I remember folks saying, we'll never have a black president. You know what I mean? And so however that was, it wound up having presidents who are African-American. So you can get some Republican lawyers. The same way the Republican lawyer came in, and he now does all of the cases for SEPTA. So just, the question is, if that's what we want, say what we want, but don't say what you can't get, because I know there has been past experience. But at the end of the day, if we're looking for an attorney in which to do a suit against or to bring up freedom of information papers or to allow them to give us the information on whatever issue it is, then formulate that committee and then we'll go ahead and pursue what it is we need to pursue until we get to a point where somebody say, you know what? We the big dogs, stop pursuing us. And then that's a whole nother conversation.
You know, we need to be looking at the wrongful convictions. It's over 1,000 cases in the city of Philadelphia. I just read where a person was wrongfully convicted. He was in jail for 12 years. He's suing not only the city of Philadelphia for millions of dollars. And this is what we're looking at, over 1,000 cases where we had these district attorneys here that basically railroaded people, and now we as taxpayers is being sued in the city. Now, you talk about 12 years ago, that district attorney is still alive, probably. We need to prosecute them. We need to prosecute the attorney that represents that person. We need to look at who was the police department, if they were involved. We need to start going after these people, not going after the taxpayers here in the city of Philadelphia. And the state needs to pay off on these claims, not us in the city, because the state allowed that to go on. We have an attorney general that's been in place all those years. They should have been involved looking at these people that prosecuted these people wrongfully. This is why the state needs to pay off on that, and the federal government, not us as the city taxpayers here.
So
that's my argument with that.
These are some of the issues that have Philadelphia being the number one poorest big city in all of the United States, while our politicians are the fourth highest paid. People need to know that. We pay more taxes than any other city. And people will argue, well, you don't pay the highest taxes. I then come back with a rebuttal and say, yes, we do. You can't compare us to California if their medium income is $67,000 or $76,000 and our medium income is $35,000. In fact, we are not only paying the most taxes than any other city in the United States, but we are paying some of the highest taxes in the city of the United States. Then we have people running on a platform saying they won't raise taxes, and then our taxes are going up. Our properties just got assessed. I've had several people call me in reference to property taxes going from $1,000 or a few hundred dollars, $500, $600, to now it's like $2,500.
Wow.
So they say on the average it will only go up $330, and if you're not a part of the program, then it's an extra $600 and some dollars. So that's almost $1,000 right there. But
so they're forcing you into the program. They're forcing you into this program.
Are going up,
Wanda?
Going up thousands of dollars.
So are they forcing you into these programs?
Well, they're forcing you into the program, and I can actually read it to you because, yeah, it is a force when you say if you're not a part of this, then it's an extra $615. So I looked up Philadelphia taxes increase for 2024. The average Philadelphia homeowner will see a tax increase, $330. If they are enrolled in the homestead exemption program, homeowners not enrolled will pay an additional $615 on average. Well, they forget to tell you about the commercial properties or properties you don't live in but you own that you might only have one tenant. You can't push that increase to that tenant that probably making $15 an hour or so.
Well, look, I was at a board. Hold on.
People to sell their properties.
I was at a board meeting on Thursday at the Philadelphia Housing Authority, so I attend the Housing Authority board meetings. And they're building new houses that you can purchase for $280,000 in the North Philly area.
I spoke about that
now,
on Thursday.
They
you
said
know
that
how much
the houses
they make for $280,000?
Yeah, but they said that the houses that they're building for $280,000 would be worth $600,000. A house in North Philly that they're building for $280,000 is going to be worth $600,000. And I'd like to know if we had seen any buses that have picked up people and take them and has taken them to Western Pennsylvania to do fracking for like $48 an hour, $50 an hour. Like, where's the jobs going to come from for you to buy a $280,000 house?
Can I say, first of all, $280 going to $600,000, I posted an article about this very concept. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that when you buy it, and the lady said it right in the article, she said, when you buy a new property and they assess it at one thing at the table and you buy it, please understand that a new assessment is coming in a year or two.
Exactly.
And when that assessment comes, you then have to pay the increases in those taxes, number one. Number two, something that's $280,000 needs $6,000 coming through that house to support, because you got to support
the $25 or the $2,200 mortgage, the insurance, the taxes, the water bill, the food, the car note, bill to children, and everything else. And they're making black women, single black women, think they can do this themselves. And now you have this beautiful house, but you have to work two jobs, and you're not home for your kids.
You really can't enjoy. Right. Right. And if you're single,
we don't need this type of housing that they're building, because every single job site, me and Dr. Chinchilla went Thursday after city council to actually interview city job sites where they're building affordable units. And we did several of them in Germantown. And there's not one community person, one black person to be seen on any of these jobs. So if you're building something for us, but we can't even help build it and make the money from building it. Mm-mm. And then when it's done, it costs too much.
We don't want you to help. We want you to stand there and watch systematic poverty.
Right, but the next thing is that everybody around that new development, property taxes go up, and then they're the next round of properties being given to the land bank or being lost, because you now can't afford taxes for the new unit that went up that's supposed to be affordable housing for your people, but they wouldn't even give your people a job, and now they want you, the middle taxpayer, to then subsidize all those units for forever, so the developer is guaranteed his money. And
his
now,
taxes.
Once again, here comes your mother, your aunt, your grandmother, your grandfather having to move out because they can't afford the taxes anymore for something they claim they were doing for us. This is a hustle, and people need to understand, before we can worry about new housing, we first have to stop the bleeding of the fact that they are stealing.
Wanda, hold on one moment, Wanda.
Brought paid for.
Hold on, Wanda. Miss Mary, what you think about this?
You know what? If you look at the court dockets, everything is based on your medical bill when they're taking your properties away from you, and also your taxes. Every court docket. And you may owe maybe $100,000 on your property based on a medical bill. And this is how they start taking your properties away from you. And if you look at the court dockets, the majority of those people do not live in Philadelphia now. You know, and this is their goal. They want the poor to move out of the city completely. You look around. When people retire.
Hold on, Wanda. Go ahead, Ms. Mary.
You know, when people retire from the state and other jobs, they move to other states, other cities. They don't stay in Pennsylvania or in Philadelphia County. People need to look at that. Now they're trying to hustle to get votes now. You know, you cannot make yourself a sanctuary city and thinking that you're not going to lose the votes. You cannot make people stay in the city or the state if we're looking at violence here. You know, so people need to realize they're making it bad for themselves. Hopefully, maybe they're just trying to get rich quick and call it a day, the city council people, the state representatives, the senators. I don't know what their mindset is, but they're pushing people out of the city, the poor, and this is the way that they want it. You know, we cannot be $35 trillion in debt. You know, this is nationally, and they're saying that everybody owe almost $300,000 if you're a taxpayer in this country, and if you're just being born, you owe over $100,000 thus far.
So let me ask you a question, both Wanda and Miss Mary. So if we had a PAC and we wanted to invest in one of you guys running for office, Wanda, hypothetically, what office would it be? And Miss Mary, what office would it be if you guys were running, and would you run? Start with Wanda. What office would
for
it be, and would you run?
I would say mayor, and I'm not qualified to run for mayor, but I would say mayor, because I think that if Rizzo could do it and other people who didn't have the degrees, and I have a couple of degrees, but not in the field that is necessary to do politics, but I've done enough community work and connection
so Wanda,
with the people.
What do you think the mayor's degree is in?
Uh, early childhood education.
Okay. So if you want to run for something, because most of this is on a job training.
I have a degree in early childhood education.
There you go.
34 years of politics.
That's not necessarily true. Miss Mary made it quite clear. We are rewarding people and putting their faces in the magazines and stuff like that, calling them the movers and shakers in the first big poor city. So we poor and everything is running backwards, then they don't get no credit for holding a position that they got voted in with like 80,000 votes out of 1.5 million people. So, Miss Mary, if you had to have a position, hypothetically, if you had to have a position, what would it be and what would we fund you to run for?
It would be the state attorney general.
Mm.
And I would clean house from the top down.
So,
judges. I would even prosecute judges, lawyers.
Oh, yes,
and
I love you.
council people, senators, and state representatives.
This is locking them all up, huh, Ms. Mary?
I would clean up. I would clean house. I'm serious because
Ms. Mary,
I've seen information in the past,
mm-hmm.
even though I wasn't assigned these cases. I only worked on the cases that I was assigned to. Based on my security clearance and ID
number. So let me ask you a question. So when Donald Trump says that he would remove the idea of if any teacher tries to make a kid feel as though that they're trapped in their wrong body, that he would have them fired and he would prosecute them and to the fullest extent of the law. You know, and so when he say what you just said, when he see an injustice or a wrong, that he would vehemently go after it, to the fullest extent, as far as getting these people removed and getting these people incarcerated. And so, to your point, with all that you've seen, and I think I don't know if you need to be an attorney to run for that position, Miss Mary. I think you do, but I think you could probably handle that position without being an attorney. But
how about auditor general?
No, so most of these.
No, we have sent
auditor
generals to jail in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, think back, Corey Kemp. I think what was he?
Corey Kemp was a
he was one of our not an auditor general, but what was he? He wasn't a controller. He was something.
He was like a controller
city.
For the state, something like that. He had that level of investigation for the state. Forget his name.
And we just sent another person. Oh, he was in charge of our treasury. That's
mm-hmm.
right, Corey
mm-hmm.
Kemp. And we just sent our last treasurer to jail. I think it was 2 years ago. So that's another group that you need to look into. The auditors, because a lot of the auditors don't even file any cases regarding what they're looking at. The controllers definitely don't look at anything. You know, we have these people in place, don't file any lawsuits. A lot of times, I'm thinking about who are they working for.
Yep, they don't stop the checks, and they keep letting the mismanagement go on. I think Rebecca Reinhart really had a chance of winning. But then it was said that, hey, she discovered all of this. She brought it to light, but she never stopped any of the checks, you know, and then that's where I sort of had to part ways. And
I don't think Rebecca Reinhart had a chance, but I like for you guys, when you see the writing.
Some of these jobs are dangerous, though, Prince, that you're asking us about, because to do them and do them right means putting your life on the line.
I was just about to ask you that question.
Yeah,
when you see
the
that,
city is just that corrupt from the stuff that I've seen and heard.
Hold on, because when you see the writing on the walls and you choose to go against the writing on the walls, have you armed yourself well enough? Have you prepared yourself well enough? Have you people secured yourself well enough so when they attack you and when they come at you, because one thing about Philadelphia is the kind of town that come back at you. Like, they come to destroy you. They don't come to hurt you.
Right.
They don't come to maim you. They come to destroy you. Or they, you know, hurt you by snatching one of your kids and disappearing your kids and giving you the message. But
Prince, don't even put that on in the air. No,
wait a minute. Hold on. There are a couple politicians.
I would be in the history book.
Just listen. There's a couple politicians whose kids that still haven't found to this day. All right. So don't. It's not that as if that doesn't happen. What I'm asking you is that it's easy to say this is wrong. It's easy to say what is wrong. But along with saying what is wrong, you have to create this kind of long-term solution. Because the bureaucracy of it all says that, okay, wear the shoes, step into the position, run for office, win office, and then you step in those shoes, and now you compromise, and you in a position to compromise to a point that you say, I ain't never compromising on that. You know, I'm never going to sell my soul to this. I'm never going to sell my soul to... Because a lot of these politicians, sometimes the best sleep they ever get is the first or second day that they go to jail. Because whoever they owe, they can't pay them. And whatever they did, they can't undo. Right?
Exactly.
Well, people like me and Miss Mary, we fight because something has been done. Like right now, you wouldn't be hearing from me as much. City Council wouldn't even have to see me if I was left alone to just run my daycare. But because someone with a little bit of power decided to target me, that's why you're hearing me so much.
But we wouldn't hear from you if you had the resources and you made phone. Hold up.
No, I would be.
And you made phone calls to the right people who controlled those other people. See, the one thing about this office going into an elected position is that because they need money to get into this, they're controlled by certain people. There's certain people that pull their strings. There's certain people. And it come to find out that only the people like yourself and other people that they create this havoc with, because they know that you're not that person that got them to where they are. And we got to start finding them people, because everybody got a godfather and a godmother, you know, that they listen to.
Yeah, but my thing is, why give anybody councilmatic prerogative or any type of power where they can just harass or threaten or mess up someone's income, their small business or whatever, because they have a personal gripe with them? Well, this is pretty much why you're hearing me.
You forget history, though.
And I don't know the right people to call. I do know that I can show up at City Council, pick an issue that I see going on in my community, and keep speaking about it until there's an investigation or something that's done, because just about every single department needs to be audited in Philadelphia, because Philadelphia ranks third to eighth most corrupt city in all of the United States.
Okay, but you got to understand something. Hold on one moment. Hold on. Councilmatic prerogative, in its inception, had a purpose. And back when Mrs. Blackwell, Mr. Blackwell were in city council, you had developers that would just come in and buy the community, you know, such as, you know, the Penns and the Pecans and all those universities and stuff, come in and acquire all of the properties in the community at a dollar. Remember, they had dollar houses, you know, at a dollar.
Yes, I remember that.
Right. And then redesign and then change the trajectory of the community. And so councilmatic prerogative, it's not a bad thing. The only issue is that we let the council people stay in office so long that the level of accountability is not there. Like the churches and other folks that used to have the council person or the state rep person come to that church and tell them about how they want a senior building. Almost every church has a senior building tied to it based on some tax credit funds. Now, I got about 3 minutes left. I'm going to get Wanda a minute, I'm going to give Miss Mary a minute, then I'm going to close. So, Wanda, your minute starts now.
Yes, the corruption in Philadelphia is just so unhinged, so out of control, that it will take, you know, drastic measures, investigations and things for it to be changed. But meanwhile, so that we're not waiting forever, people can do one thing, and that is show up at City Council, tune in to City Council if you can't, start writing emails and vote differently, people. Like, it doesn't mean if you vote differently, the Republicans are going to take over the working family. It means you're going to balance out the power. And right now we have too many Democratic people in office, and they don't take us serious because their seat is guaranteed.
Thank you. For instance,
with this stadium.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. Ms. Mary, I want you to close this out with your minute.
Okay. The only thing that we can do is expose the people that are committing the wrongdoing, because it becomes dangerous for a person to become a whistleblower. Not only are you a target, but your family is a target. I learned that. And my thing is, I would have been fired after, I would say, 35 years of being employed, because I stayed on for 45 years as a whistleblower.
Mm.
They did everything possible to me, you know, knowing that I was injured. But yet, it continued. Even...
Well, look. Look, y'all.
You know, people need Ms. to Mary. Realize...
Ms. Mary,
you
now,
can you
Ms.
cannot
Mary.
Expose these top people unless you have your facts together.
Exactly. Unless you got everything in place. So, look. You guys know I'm on every Monday from 2 to 3. Life is a gamble. You guys are both my co-hosts. I'll see you next week. Thanks a lot for calling. Have a tremendous day.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you. There's no exception to the rule.